I want you to imagine the scene in your mind's eye tonight. You're gazing out, and in the distance, you see these two women, and they're walking along. Far away, they're trotting towards the local town. And at first, there's no real interest in them. The people are gazing out there and just, oh, there's two women out for a walk. There's two women coming into town. But as they come closer and closer, there's a curiosity among the townspeople. Could it be? Could it be her? No, I don't think so. Soon the gossips start to whisper. Is that Naomi? They watch these two women as they approach the town, and there's a buzz of questions. There's excitement. There's curiosity. And even pity expressed as they gaze upon this woman. No, it couldn't be. She couldn't have failed that much. That couldn't be the same woman who left here 10 years ago, who went out full. That couldn't be her. Is this the pleasant and popular wife of Elimelech? Is this the mother of Mahlon and Chilion? Is this aged and weary-looking woman? Is this the once happy and winsome wife of the elegant Elimelech? Surely not. But as she draws closer, they begin to realize, wow, what a change. It is her. The one who left for a better life in the far country. Look at her. Look at her as she returns home. We remember how her and Elimelech boasted they're going to a far off country for greater things, a better life. They're leaving all this behind. They're leaving Bethlehem behind for a better life. But look at her as she returns. Friends, that's what 10 years of backsliding does to someone who goes to live a life of sin, a life in the far country. And as Naomi returns from Moab, bereaved and destitute, she's lost her husband, she's lost her two sons, she's lost her money, she's lost her property. She comes back of absolutely nothing. Nothing except the marks upon her face of a life lived in the far country. That's all she brought back of her. The marks upon her face of a life lived in the far country. As she walked down the streets, she looked broken, weary, ragged, worn with age and trouble. She probably said, 10 years, she looks 20 years older, 30 years older. Look at her face. The withered rose is so unlike the blooming flower that left here 10 years ago. Is this really Naomi? See, Moab is a land of bitterness. Moab is a land of woe. Moab is a land of want and misery. And Naomi found that out to a great cost. She went out full, but she was made empty in Moab. Bitter in soul, confused in mind and weary in body, she returned to the land of Canaan. And her old friends of whom she had fellowship couldn't scarcely believe their eyes. This was the same woman. See, backsliding brings bitterness, and others notice. They notice the change. Matthew Henry, writing on this passage, he said, "It appears that she had formerly lived respectably, else there would have been not so much notice taken of her. If those that had been in high and prosperous condition break or fall into poverty or disgrace, their fall is more remarkable, more noticeable. Those of whom she had formerly been intimate were surprised to see her in this condition. She was so much broken and altered with her affliction that they could scarcely believe their own eyes, to think this was indeed the same person whom they had known so well, so fresh and fair and gay as she left 10 years previous. Is this Naomi? What a poor figure does Naomi make now compared with what she made in her prosperity?" Tonight I want to look at these four verses together as we look at Naomi's return. Notice firstly the surprise, and we've already noted something of the reaction here of the townsfolk as they gazed upon their one-time friend as she returns. Something had happened to her life in Moab had left its mark, and we could certainly say that Naomi stands before us in Scripture as a great picture of the fall and ruin of the human race in her own father, Adam. I want you to think about Adam for a moment. You think of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Think about how God made them. Think about their condition and their surroundings and their circumstance. We would surely say that Adam and Eve were full, wouldn't we? Just like Naomi left Bethlehem full. We would say that Adam and Eve were full. You see, friend, God made man in his own image, after his own likeness. Read that in Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he them. Male and female created he them. And in the beginning, Adam was full. Adam was prosperous. He was perfectly righteous. He was incredibly brilliant. He was spiritual. He was strong. He was in complete peace and harmony with both God and his creation. And then what happened? Adam sinned. Adam fell. And we all sinned in him. And oh, how great the fall of man was. We read in Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. Now as we look in the mirror every morning, friends, surely we can look in the mirror and say, is this Adam? Is this how God created us? Just like these folks said, is this really Naomi? Is this the woman that went out full? As we look in the mirror, we have to say, is this Adam? You see, God made man full, but now he is empty. Because of that terrible fall, we all bear a greater resemblance by nature to the devil than we do to God. You might say, how dare you say that, preacher, that I, in my sin, resemble the devil more than God? Well, that's what the Bible clearly teaches. Because Matthew 15:19, the Lord said, for out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, and blasphemies. That's what comes out of the heart. And that doesn't make us like God, does it? Because God is holy, God is perfect, God is pure. That resembles our father, the devil. You see, man in his sin is spiritually empty. He's void of righteousness and full of sin. Man is no longer spiritual, but carnal. He's no longer wise, but foolish. No longer strong, but weak. And like Naomi, no longer full, but empty. You see, fallen man is without peace, without God, and without any hope in his natural condition. And the only remedy for the lost, ruined condition of the human race tonight, and if you, friend, if you're still in your sin, is the cross of Christ. And just like Naomi, as she was empty, returned to Bethlehem. Friend, you need to return to God because you've fallen in Adam. You are a sinner by nature. And when Naomi returned to Bethlehem, she came home to God. We read in verse 19, is this Naomi? And all the city was moved about. As these two worn strangers marched through the dusty streets of the city, you can imagine the crowd of people gathering. All come out of the houses, all come out of the homes, out of the workplace, out of the fields. They all gathered to see and look upon these two people, and they recognized immediately, well, who's this other girl? She's not a Jew. She's not from our country. She's not from here. And she would have stood out in the crowd, friends. And you know what it's like when someone comes from another country, another nationality. You can nearly tell them if they're Spanish or South American or if they're from a different... You can nearly tell they're different. And here, they noticed straight away, this here was something different. And who's this girl that has come back of you, Naomi? And there was a whole buzz about this in the city. And this girl, they soon found out, this girl had been converted to Jehovah. She had come back with Naomi to serve Naomi's God. You see, that didn't happen very often in the days of the judges. In fact, it didn't happen very often in the Old Testament at all. But here it happened now. And there was this great buzz what was going on in Ruth's life, because we read of how Boaz in chapter 2, verse 11, he said, it have been fully shown me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Boaz had heard this. He had heard this. It had been told him that this girl had come back, and she had trusted in Jehovah. And you can see this whole scene in your mind's eyes, questioning Naomi and questioning Ruth. And one commentator describes it like this, and we can imagine this. No doubt they would have asked the first question to Naomi, where's Elimelech? Have you come alone? Is he back at home with the boys? Surely she would have had to start to tell them the awful story of what happened to her husband in the far-off country. A middle-aged Israelite man would have come forward and said, what about Chilion? We were at school together. How's he doing? Has he prospered? Is he doing well? And again, she would have had to relay the story of how she'd lost her son. And maybe the rabbi had come forward from the local tabernacle and who'd blessed maybe the circumcision of Malin. How's Malin doing? She had to explain to him he was dead also. And there she stands, weary, worn, ragged, amidst her sobs, and she relates a sad story of what happened to her in the far country. How she'd left full, and how she'd come home empty, with the deepest poverty. She had nothing to bring with her, only loss and loneliness. And this is a story she had to tell the people, and the people were moved here. They were moved as all this was taking place, and you can imagine maybe old friends, old neighbors, maybe putting their arm around her and says, well, it's good to see you, Naomi. We're glad you've come home. We're glad you've come back to God's people. There's bread in Bethlehem. There's hope for you here. Yes, your life has been hard. Your life has been difficult. I'm sure many showed sympathy even to her. And friends, it's not just Bethlehem tonight that's moved by the return of the backslider. For heaven rejoices over the return of the backslider. The Bible tells us that tonight, that the Lord makes it known in the glories of heaven over that sinner that repenteth. There's rejoicing over one sinner that repenteth more than 99 that don't need repentance. And heaven would have rejoiced over Naomi's return. Notice something else here. Notice the sorrow. All Naomi could bring back with her from Moab was the remembrance of all she'd lost. As I said, she bore those marks upon her face. Those 10 years of a wasted life. And as you think of our wasted life, think of that old gospel song Reverend McCrae used to sing, wasted years, oh how foolish. As you went on in your darkness and fears, turn around, the Lord is calling. He's calling you from your life of wasted years. Here Naomi has come home. After 10 years of wasted years, her sad condition is a picture of the evil and bitter result of departing and leaving the Lord. Friends, the world will promise you many, many things. And we see that all around us. And yes, it might look prosperous, it might look great for a while, but it'll only end up bringing you bitterness. And here Naomi soon found out that leaving the Lord left her bitter. She says in verse 20, call me not Naomi, but call me Mara. That name Naomi means pleasant one. Pleasant one. Now she wants to be called the bitter one because she is bitter. She is bitter. She feels no longer worthy to be called pleasant one. She's like the prodigal son who came back to his father and said, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And here's Naomi. Don't call me Naomi. Don't call me the pleasant one. That one you used to know. There was a time when she was pleasant and they knew, and when she was in Bethlehem, but I'm no longer that person. 10 years in the far country has changed me. I'm better now. Call me better. The Lord Almighty has dealt with me. It's cost me. It's cost me everything. My failing, my leaving the Lord has cost me everything. No, don't call me pleasant. Call me that bitter one. You see, Moab is a land of bitterness. And you see, friend, tonight, there may be pleasures in it for a little while. It's like those sweets you give the children. And you start to suck them for a few seconds, and all of a sudden the sourness hits. They're sweet for a moment, and that's what sin's like. Sweet for a moment, and then the bitterness hits. And here she remembers All she's left behind, she's brought her sorrow home with her. You see, friend, tonight, remember, sometimes the backslider, you know, they can come back to the Lord. The Lord forgives them, but that old life, it stains, it hangs on. And so many people who have fallen into a backslidden state, you know, the old sins are there, that they remember them, they're there, and the devil loves to cast them up and bring them before their mind. But friend, tonight, let me say to you, if you're a backslider, the Lord will forgive you. And all those things you've done will be forgotten about. They'll be removed as far as the east is from the west. Past sins, present sins, future sins, they're forgotten about. They're covered over by the blood of Christ. No longer to be remembered anymore. And you need to lift up your head, friend, and look to Christ. Look away from your past life. Look away from your surroundings. Look away from your sin and look to Christ. There's forgiveness with him. You think of Peter. We mentioned Peter this morning around the communion table. We mentioned how he denied the Lord. He followed afar off. And Peter, we've preached on it previously, but Peter thought his service for the Lord was over. He denied him of oaths and curses, and he thought, that's it, I'm finished. But the Lord restored him, and the Lord used him, and the Lord blessed him. Friend, tonight, the Lord can use you. The Lord can bless you. Don't live in your bitterness. Move on. Look to Christ. Here Naomi said, I went out full. The Lord hath brought me home empty again. And again, another picture of the prodigal son, how he left full with the father's goods that fell off to him. But then he came home empty. And here we see Naomi. She's actually reciting here from Exodus 15 as she mentions those words, call me Mara. She's speaking of Exodus 15. And this proves that Naomi knew God's word. When she was in Bethlehem, she knew the word of God. She knew it, and this even points to her sin in a worse state, because this is willful sin. She knew God's word. She knew she shouldn't have left Bethlehem to go to the far country. It wasn't as if her and Elimelech didn't really know what they're doing. They did know what they were doing. They chose to go, and now she admits her failure. She went, I went out full. The Lord have brought me home again empty. The Lord have testified against me, and the Almighty have afflicted me. And she says, call me Mara. The bitter waters that the Israelites experienced. And she knew this story. She knew her Bible. She knew the scriptures. And it took 10 years and 3 days for her to acknowledge this, but at least she saw it now. And friends, many tonight know the Bible. Many know the gospel. Many could preach the gospel better than I could preach it, but yet they're still in their sin. They're still in the far country. They're still unrepentant. They're still not willing to come to Christ. They're still running after the bitter waters and the life in the far country. Will you not come to the end of yourself tonight and realize there's nothing here for you, any bitterness and failure? And here Naomi realizes she's come to this point in her life, 10 years, 3 deaths. And she realizes now that this has all been of God. She's called me bitter because I've had a bitter experience. And God is behind it all. The Almighty have done this to me. God is in charge. And God let her go so far, but he brought her home again. She said, when I left, I had my husband, I had my family. We are full of ourselves. We are full of our own notions, our own importance, and with wonderful plans for the future. But one thing we didn't have God in it all. We left him out of the whole thing. But the Lord didn't leave her. The Lord had to humble her. The Lord had to bring her low, down very, very low to bring her back. And friend, tonight, what does the Lord have to do in your life? How low does the Lord have to bring you? What does he have to do in your family, in your circumstances, in your life? What does he have to do to bring you to himself? How low do you have to be brought before you realize that Moab is only bitterness? There's no joy to be found there. You see, there's a cost to disobedience, and her confession proved this. I went out full, but the Lord have brought me home again empty. And what a wonderful description of the backslider who spends her life gathering wood and hay and stubble, things that don't last, things that can be burned up and are gone in a moment. Oh yes, there's pleasures of sin for a season, but only for a season. Friends, how short is a season? Summer's over. We're into autumn already. Where did the summer go? It's gone by in a flash. And that's what the pleasure of sin is like. It just in a flash, a season, and it's gone. And here, like many embittered backsliders, Naomi, she realizes that the Lord has been working in her life, working all these things behind the scenes to bring her back to himself. The Lord has dealt with me. The Almighty has dealt with me. The mighty have afflicted me. And she realized, you know, I could have kept my husband. I could have still have my two sons by my side if I just had have listened to the Lord. Friend, tonight, I don't know where you stand with the Lord. Maybe you're a backslider. Maybe you're a sinner. Maybe you don't realize yourself. You're not really sure where you stand. Well, my words to you is simply, make sure you know tonight. Come back to the Lord and call upon him, because you'll end up on a lonely road like Naomi. That will bring you bitterness and sorrow and despair. You see, if Naomi had reflected more carefully on the story of the bitter waters in Exodus 15, she would have realized that the grace of God actually sweetened those bitter waters. Those waters that were marrow, he sweetened them. And he said, don't call it marrow, call it Elam. For there the springs of the water came forth, the sweet waters. And so too, friend, tonight, the grace of God can sweeten your bitter soul, your bitter experience in Moab, that life of sin, that life of failing and bitterness that you have. The Lord can sweeten it by his amazing grace. Here Naomi realized that she had been brought low. But we have to think of how merciful the Lord was in all of this. How kind of the Lord to bring her home. Why not just leave her there? She had left the Lord. She had all she needed. She left the Lord to go to live in a far country. But the Lord didn't leave her. She left him, but he never left her. And how good and gracious, how tender and true, how merciful our God is tonight. Did he not bring Adam out of the bushes? When Adam sinned and ran from the Lord and hid his face from the Lord, did the Lord not go and seek Adam and call him out of the bushes? He did. He redeemed Israel with a mighty hand and brought them out of Egypt. He welcomed the prodigal son home again. And here he brings Naomi back to himself. Back home. What a happy word. Home is a lovely word, isn't it? We all love going home, don't we? Whether that is our home place, where we were born or reared or wherever it is, home is a special place in each of our hearts. Home is a lovely word. And Canaan is the homeland of the people of God. Abraham was called out of the Ur of the Chaldees to go into Canaan. Jacob found neither peace nor rest outside of the promised land. And Moses led the people of Egypt to go into the land of Canaan. And Joshua led them finally across the Jordan into Canaan's fruitful land. Christ was born in Canaan. Canaan is God's land for God's people. Canaan is God's will and God's place for God's people. Canaan is home. It's home for the child of God. It's to be in the center and the circle of the will of God. It's to be at home. And here Naomi was brought home again, back to God. Notice one last thing here. Notice the supply in verse 22. Read there, so Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. It's always the beginning of better days when backsliding cease and return to Canaan's happy land. And here the providence of God was at work in it all. He didn't bring them to Bethlehem at the end of barley harvest or in the middle of barley harvest, but at the beginning. The very beginning, as the first fruits, the best grain was being brought in to the storehouse. Brought to the very best. When Naomi and Elimelech left with the two boys, there was a famine in the land. But now she comes back, and not only has God visited the people, but now there's a wonderful, bountiful harvest. Had Naomi and Ruth come before the harvest, they would be in difficulty for means to support themselves. Had they come after the harvest, they would miss the opportunity of meeting Boaz. They came at the right time. And isn't that wonderful, as we see the providence of God, that he guided them home just at the right time. At the perfect time. His timing is never off. You see, the harvest is a time of hope. It's a time of activity. It's a time of new beginnings. The harvest. And here they're brought at the right time to experience this bountiful harvest. And friend, tonight you're here in the, by the providence of God. You're sitting under the sound of the word by the providence of God. And the perfect time for you to be saved is now. Right this very moment, because the Bible tells us, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It's right now. It's right now. And this is the beginning of barley harvest. And what a wonderful spiritual truth we see in all this, because it wasn't just a physical harvest. There's a spiritual harvest here also, because we have Ruth here in this scene. She's brought here with Naomi, and she has been converted to Naomi's God. And God has brought her here for a reason. God is working in her. And God was bringing a harvest through the dusty streets of Bethlehem, because, you see, Ruth would go on to be the great, 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 great grandmother of the Lord Jesus Christ. He would be born of the line of Ruth and Boaz. What a wonderful picture of the gospel, of the harvest, the barley harvest. As this couple journeyed to Bethlehem, they see the waving fields of barley. They found the message they'd received in Moab was true, there is bread. It's true, there's bread. The Lord had visited his people and given them bread. And now that they had all the provision they needed. All the provision they needed. And notice three things here about the return. Notice she came back in the right manner. Naomi came back in the right manner because she left Moab behind. She left all behind her. She turned her back on her sin. She arose. She went forth. She turned her back on her old life. She headed for home. Remember how Orpah went so far and she turned and went back. But Naomi, she came in the right manner. She came with a repentant heart. And I wonder, friend, tonight, are you willing to come to Christ? Are you willing to come? You see, there's only one way to come. Many people seek to make their own way to heaven, to do their own thing, but there's only one way to come, and that is the way of the cross. That is by repentance, leaving your sin behind, and coming to him. She came also to the right place. She came to Bethlehem, to the house of bread. And friend, tonight, if you desire satisfaction for your soul, you have to go to the right place. Many people are seeking for satisfaction, but they seek in the wrong place, and they don't find it. They never find it. Only Christ can satisfy your need tonight. Everything else will leave you lacking. And let me say something even to the believer tonight. Many believers are living upon half rations. And they're like those in the church of Laodicea. Don't really realize the state they're in. They don't realize they're famished. And they say, I'm rich, I'm increased of goods and have need of nothing. And that's the way they live. Yet the Lord says, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, poor, blind and naked. Friend, tonight, we can't live on half rations. We must come to the house of bread. We must live a full life, filled up with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not living a life in half fashion for him, but sold out for him. Not living and getting a mere morsel of bread here and again, now and again in the house of God, but come, be filled with the bread, filled with the word of God, and live for him. One other thing, she came back at the right time. It was the beginning of barley harvest. And according to the Jewish calendar, that takes place in the spring of the Jewish year. And when a person reaches Bethlehem, you see, it's springtime for the soul. Time of new beginnings. Isn't that what springtime is, as you watch the flowers bud? It's a new season, time of new beginnings. Spring's in the air. We love to see spring coming. The birds are singing. And the flowers are beginning to bloom. The golden grain of the grass is waving. What a wonderful time it is. It speaks of joy. Time of spring. You let the cattle or the calves out into the field and the lambs are skip of joy. It's a time of joy, a time of new beginnings. Isaiah writes of the joyful worshippers. In Isaiah 9 and 3, the joy before thee according to the joy and harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. Time of joy, time of rejoicing. And friend, tonight, according to Exodus 9, The barley harvest was the first of the grain. This was just the beginning, because the flax was second and the wheat was third. And when they arrived at Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest, it is evident that there was still more to follow. This is the beginning. This was just the beginning of a new life. And what a picture there, even in the gospel tonight. You see, when you come to Christ, your life is only beginning. It's only the beginning of your life. Sadly, many people think, oh, when you come to become a Christian, well, it's rules and regulations, all the joy is gone, and it's a life of misery, but not so. It's a life of a new beginning. And just as they came here at the beginning of the barley harvest, there was the flax to come, there was the wheat to come, there was more to come, more blessings to come. And what a picture of salvation, how the Lord Jesus Christ promises abundant life to the sinner. It's just the start. It's just the start of a wonderful life of blessing and joy and peace with Christ. You see, he is the bread of life. He is the only one who can truly satisfy the soul of the sinner. Nothing else. Not the fast foods of this world, so to speak. You know what it's like, friends? You go to McDonald's and you get a burger, and half an hour later you're still hungry. It doesn't satisfy. Compared to a big roast beef dinner or something that fills you up and nourishes you. And what a picture in the gospel of how Christ truly satisfies. Truly satisfies. You'll never want anything else when you have him. And it's a life of beginnings, a life of blessing. And as I came here at the beginning of barley harvest, this was the beginning of a new life. The 10 years in Moab will soon be forgotten about. It's a new life for Ruth. She'd spent all her years in Moab. She'd spent all her life there. As these two women came to Bethlehem, new life was just beginning for them. Now I wonder, friend, tonight as we close our meeting, what a wonderful thing it would be tonight if your life just started now. No matter what age you are, your life just started now. That the old life, those wasted years that have left the marks of sin in your life can be wiped out, can be cleaned by the precious blood of Christ. And you can start it again. Is that what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:17? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. New beginning. Do you want that tonight? Are you content to live in Moab? Are you content to live a life of bitterness and failure and want? And at the end of it all, you've nothing to show for it. It's nothing but death. And more so than losing husband and children like Naomi did, it'll be your own soul. That awful place called hell. Oh, friend, tonight I trust you'll think upon these things. Think upon the Savior. Think upon the one who gave us all. Give us life. Give us life so that you might live. That you might have a new beginning. That old man, that old Adam that you look at in the mirror can be gone. You can become a new creature in Christ. The Lord bless his word to our hearts tonight. And speak to us all, we pray, for his name's sake. Amen. Just close our meeting and come before the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we think of Naomi and her years of bitterness, wasted years in the far country. Lord, how many people have lived many more years in the far country, lived their life in sin, that's all they've ever known. They've never experienced the blessing of God. They've never experienced the bread from heaven. And they're living off the scraps that the devil throws to them day by day. And they're famished. They have no satisfaction. They have an ache, a hunger within their soul, but they don't know what it is. They don't know how to fill it. They run after the pleasures and sins of this world, and they try to fill it up with coming to church or maybe praying or reading or trying to be a good neighbor or try to live self-righteously. Yet, there's no peace. There's no joy because they don't have Christ. They don't have the bread of life. Father, tonight we pray that you'll speak to such people. They will come to that point in their life just like Naomi did when she arose and went forth and headed for Bethlehem. that the sinner indeed would arise tonight, that they would leave their sin, they would go forth to the cross. And there they will find hope and rest and peace for their soul. They'll find the knowledge of sins forgiven. They'll have peace with thee because thy justice was satisfied upon the cross through our blessed Redeemer. Lord, may all in this meeting be pointed to Christ tonight. May we all seek to live for him. May we not live in half measures and live in half rations, but Lord, help us to be full, full of Christ, full of the Savior, full of thy precious word, sold out for thee in all that we do. Father, write thy word upon hearts even now. Lord, even as we leave this meeting, we pray that you'll speak on by the voice of thy blessed Holy Spirit. And you give no rest, no peace, until the backslider and the sinner make their peace with thee. Lord, go before us now. Bless us even this week, Lord, in all that we do. And keep thy hand upon us for good. We pray these things in our Saviour's precious name. Amen.